Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with Jake Pounders. Jack White, if you're listening, I love you. Raconteurs are in town.
I know. I had to turn down tickets. Oh, it's so
really?
Hard. Yeah.
You turned them down?
I turned them down. I had VIP, too.
Why?
Chiefs.
Oh. Yeah. You're impressive.
They were offered to me. I didn't have to pay for them. Here's a VIP ticket. Would you like to go with me? You know how hard that was? But I got work to do tonight. Tune in and watch the Chiefs in Denver.
Oh, trust me, I want to go, but like you, there wouldn't be enough time to watch the whole game.
Right.
I'm sorry, I'm watching the game.
Oh, I have to. I mean,
Jack White.
What would happen is that I'd go to the concert, and then after the concert, I'd have to go home and watch the game, and I'd get to bed, and I'd get maybe an hour of sleep, and that would probably wreck my whole weekend. And
don't wreck your weekend.
I don't want to.
Don't wreck it.
I want to be fresh for the show tomorrow.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Check yourself because before you riggedy wreck yourself.
You know, shotgun bullets are bad for your health.
So is it.
What? I know what you're going to say. Don't say it, please. But you can come and see me at Streetcar tonight if you'd like to come out and enjoy a wonderful 360 Baca happy hour. Streetcar Grill and Tavern, 1580 Main Street. I'll be there from 4 until, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go live to Denver with Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com and 810WHB.com. Hello, Matt. How are you?
I am just dandy this morning. How are you guys doing?
Where are you at right now?
I'm in my hotel room, which has a lovely view facing east, which means I have no view.
You just get to see the plains of eastern Colorado out your window, huh?
Exactly. I can see as far as the edge of the horizon, and there's not much there on the edge of the horizon.
Beautiful.
Did you drive?
I did, which meant, yes, I got to enjoy the lovely view of western Kansas and eastern Colorado, so I made it through without falling asleep.
Did you drive by yourself or with anyone?
I went solo.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was planning on coming out here with maybe somebody else, but plans fell through, so.
Jake has a business proposition for you, so please.
No.
We can't discuss that.
Stay on hold until.
I would never do that to Matt.
Are we on the air?
Hello. Is this thing on?
I didn't hear anything.
That's right.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's game day. Matt, let's talk football, would you please? Bashaud Breeland, will he be in Denver tonight?
Still waiting to hear. I haven't heard official word about whether he was going to make it out here or not. We will see if he can't. Obviously, that's a huge blow. It really decimates that cornerback position. Just leave the Chiefs with three guys, Travers Ward, Morris Claiborne, Rashad Fenton, and most likely, obviously that means Rashad Fenton would be your slot corner filling in for Kendall Fuller. And he's got all of six defensive snaps this season, so you really don't know what to expect there.
You had a chat with Rashad Fenton. What did he have to say?
Yeah, he talked a little bit with me about just how things have been going this year. He feels really comfortable, feels like he's fitting in well. He says he's gotten some great advice from his teammates throughout the season. He feels like he's really started to understand the concepts of the defense better. He's like any cornerback, he's confident in his skills. I mean, he believes that if given an opportunity, he can go out there and play. I mean, he's not uncomfortable at all. It doesn't scare him or faze him. He got out on Sunday, played those six snaps for four, didn't have much warning. Yeah, I think it's too early to tell to be able to grade out how he did on just those six snaps. But he's optimistic. I mean, he knew that there was a possibility even before the issue with Breeland arose that, you know, he was probably going to be playing on Thursday night, and he feels pretty confident. He has come a long way. The Chiefs feel like he's come a long way. They've identified him from even before the draft as being an inside type guy, and the prospect was always, hey, if we get this guy, come in and bring him, develop him, maybe he can be our nickelback going forward into the future.
Is Morris Claiborne ready to play a full game, and if so, what should we expect from him?
I mean, it seems like it, even though they've kept him on a snap count the first couple of weeks, played, I think, three series, against Houston last week, and the Chiefs have lived up to their proposal on him, which was that they were just going to sprinkle him in, give him a drive or two here, rotate him in through on the outside. They've been pretty, you know, Steve Spagnuolo has been pretty specific so far about keeping his outside guys outside and inside inside. But with the shape that Claiborne seems to be in, I don't think the heavier workload is going to be a problem. I think it's more of an issue is just, you know, where his game is at and if he's, you know, ready from a mental standpoint probably for handling, you know, 60 to 90 snaps depending on how many of the Chiefs defenses are playing.
And the versatility of Tyrann Mathieu and Juan Thornhill should be able to help get them through this game. And look, I'm puzzled by this, but I'm somewhat optimistic because, I want to see what Mo Claiborne has in the tank. Let's go. I want to see what Rashad Fenton has. He's a sixth-round pick. They like him enough to draft him. Let's see what they've got there. And I think Charvarius Ward has been better. And the people that I've talked to about him, a big part of his problem and his issue is a confidence thing. And so I'm hoping maybe that interception that he had, and now that he's the guy, you know, tonight of the guys that have that were incumbent, you know, starters going into the season, he's the corner tonight that's going to be out there for sure. And so maybe that's a confidence builder, and we could see him evolve tonight and take a big step forward. So I'm here for it. But you know, Thornhill and Tyrann Mathieu put some more on their plate too. So you tell me how this not only this affects the corner position, but how will this affect the safety position as well? Who are we going to see more snaps from? Is it going to be Daniel Sorensen? Is it going to be Jordan Lucas? What's the overall ripple effect for the secondary if Fuller and Breland both are out?
Yeah, I think you make a great point, which is that the Chiefs feel like they have a bunch of safeties who can cover. They got some guys who used to be cornerbacks, so they're not afraid to put them into situations where they're guarding guys in the line of scrimmage, working in the slot. We've seen Tyrann Mathieu play there. Would not surprise me at all if you saw a little bit more of him. With the trouble that they've had against the run, you know, Dan Sorensen's been their run guy, so I would expect to see him quite a bit. It wouldn't surprise me, though, if, you know, Jordan Lucas got an expanded role this week because the same reason. I mean, he's got some cover skills. He's played corner in the past. They feel like they can trust him in a position like that. So it would not surprise me at all if we did end up seeing maybe more three and four safety looks on occasion for the Chiefs because they feel like that they can be a little bit more flexible with those safeties. It's a really interesting matchup because the Broncos have some receivers. They've got guys who are difficult to cover, depending on how healthy Emmanuel Sanders is a big, big question there. But this is also a team with a quarterback that I think that you feel like that they can play some man-to-man. They can put some guys on islands because this isn't a quarterback that at this point in his career is just lighting the fire and beating people regularly, so that I think they feel like to a degree. And Ward, with what you mentioned, I mean, he had a great interception last week. He seems to be really comfortable. They think that his, you know, man skills are far ahead of his own skills at this point. So they feel like maybe they can put him in some matchups that will work out, and that will allow them to put a little bit more effort into the run defense and let Joe Flacco try and beat you.
So Anthony Hitchens has been a full participant in practice the last couple of days. How big of a difference do we think he makes being back in the lineup?
Certainly think he makes some difference. I thought Ben Neiman played pretty well in his role. The one edge that probably Anthony Hitchens has is just the calling of the defense, being the quarterback back out there. Getting everyone lined up, that's probably the biggest difference. The question is just going to be, what's his mobility going to be like? You know, Anthony Hitchens is at his best when he can run around, go sideline to sideline, and make some plays. And it's the little question just how far he is with that groin injury, if he's got the mobility to do that.
Matt Derrick is our guest. Okay, so Matt, we know that Fisher's out and Wiley's out, so with the offensive line the way it is and this defense that the Chiefs would be going up against, and I read some stats earlier, that showed how well they're playing right now. The Broncos shut out the Titans last week 16-0. They've given up fewer than 40 rushing yards in back-to-back games, and they have not allowed a touchdown on 28 consecutive opponent drives, which is the longest active streak in the NFL. What do you expect the offensive approach to be, considering the limitations of the left side of the offensive line tonight?
Well, I don't expect there to be a lot of changes. I think the Chiefs are really comfortable in what they do, and I don't think that they feel like that there's anything broken from a strategy or a game plan standpoint. I think a lot of it that they feel like is execution, and a big part of it has been not having – I think that as big of an issue as maybe not having Eric Fisher has just been not having Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill. You get Hill back, and you know, in last week he made a tremendous difference in the 29 snaps that he's played. He's only played like 41, 42 snaps so far, but with Tyreek Hill on the field, the Chiefs are averaging 9.25 yards a play. That is just off the charts ridiculous. I mean, he is such a difference maker in this offense right now. And we know that this is a video game offense. But the key to it is that you've got to have, you know, Patrick Mahomes has got to have all his weapons. And still won't quite be there with Watkins not being around. But Hill makes a tremendous difference. And you got to pick your poison. You know, how much do you dedicate resources over the top to keeping and containing Hill? If you do that, suddenly Travis Kelce becomes a target. I don't think the Chiefs are going to change what they do. They're still going to run their RPOs. They're still going to do their misdirection. You do everything that they typically do. It's just a matter of, you know, the execution is more smooth with Hill back.
So what about this left side of the offensive line? How concerned are we about this going into this game, and in what areas will it maybe pose the biggest problem?
I think it's still, I think it's still a huge concern, and part because I think that the Chiefs just haven't figured out how to compensate for it. They trust their guys, and that's not a problem necessarily, except that the chemistry just doesn't seem like it's been there right now. You know, they've just had problems at multiple different spots. Holding has been a huge issue, and holding usually happens when, you know, guys are a little bit slower to react, they're hesitant. And part of that, especially maybe in the middle of the line, is that, you know, that guys are just a little nervous about where they need to be. Austin Ryder's playing next to the guys that he's never really played with before. Same with Cam Irving. You know, he's got a guy there at left guard that, you know, he doesn't know whether he needs to cheat over that direction to help out. And it has caused some problems. We'll see. I mean, we still know for sure. I'm expecting Martinez Rankin to start tonight at left guard. He looked pretty comfortable. There were some rough plays last week, but you know, overall, the Chiefs were happy with what they got out there. Can't rule out Stefan Wisniewski maybe stepping in. They do have some options there, but Eric Fisher's a big loss. I mean, I think that Cam Irving has played well. He's certainly had some rough moments, but I think these last few weeks have really underscored that Eric Fisher's a pretty good left tackle.
Chiefs and Broncos tonight in Denver, and so if you're the Denver Broncos and you look at what the Chiefs' defense is and their inability to stop the run for the past month, but then you also see the lack of depth at corner, and you're putting Rashad Fenton in a situation where he hasn't played a lot, Mo Claiborne, I mean, you don't know. You'd like to think he's game ready, but you know he deserves to be tested. What's your offensive approach if you are the Denver Broncos?
I think you got to just continue to follow the game plan and the blueprint that teams have laid out. This has always made the most sense about how you beat Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. You keep the ball away from them. You limit their opportunities. The Chiefs, their defense, they've had some rough moments, you know, make no doubt about that. But one area that they really wanted to improve this year was in red zone defense. And they've done that. You know, last year they were giving up, touchdowns on 71% of their red zone possessions. This year they're only giving them up 50%. It's not great, but, you know, it's manageable. But you've got an offense that scores at a pretty prolific rate. And if the Chiefs get into a game where it's a battle of possessions and they get a lot of opportunities, they're going to hit on some of them. And if you're getting touchdowns and you're holding the other team to field goals, that's going to work out for you. The only problem is that if you don't get the touches, you can't score. And that's what teams have realized is you keep Patrick Mahomes off the field, that's how you beat the Chiefs. And there's a few teams out there that can boat race with the Chiefs. We saw that last year. But for a team like the Broncos, they cannot get in a shootout. They've got to just plug the ball forward, push the ground game. Because if you get into an air battle with the Chiefs, a team like the Broncos, I don't think they can win it.
Matt Derrick, if you would, give us your official prediction. How do you think this game will play out, and what do you think the ending will be?
With Hill back, I think that really changes a lot of things. I mean, the Chiefs still are not anywhere close to full power. But I think there's a determination not to let this losing streak go on. Andy Reid losing three in a row is just such an unusual proposition. I think they pull this out. I think it's going to be a close game. I think the last time I saw the cover was the spread was 3.5. Broncos might not be a bad bet, but I think the Chiefs are going to win this. I got them 27-24.
So the Jake, is it three still?
Are there 3.5.
3.5. What about just for giggles, and in no way is this anything but entertainment purposes, what about the over-under number of 48.5? Matt, what are you thinking here?
I mean, I think that gets hit, but, the last couple of weeks with the Chiefs, I mean, there have been some low-scoring games, but, I mean, that seems like a pretty good number, but with the Chiefs, I think more often than not, that's a number that's going to get passed. And I think it gets passed, but obviously for my score prediction, I don't have a whole lot of faith in that.
Nate Bucati.
I have to turn in my official prediction here in a little bit, don't I? I'm going to...
At least give us the over-under right now.
What's over-under again? What's the number?
48.5.
48.5.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you're not supposed to take the under with the Chiefs, but I think I might go with the under.
Jake Pounders.
Blah.
Ooh.
That was... I'm taking the over.
Matt Derrick.
This defense can't stop anybody. And Chiefs, they can score better than any other team. Well, shouldn't say that anymore.
Say it.
No, I mean, they don't
back down.
This offense on the field tonight is not the most explosive offense in the league. It's just not. The way it's structured right now, with the injuries on the offensive line, Sammy Watkins being out, Tyreek Hill's back, but, he's 1 week in. It's not as an explosive offense with injured Patrick Mahomes, injured offensive line, and guys out at the skill positions. So I'm still taking the over, though.
Who will lead the running backs in yards from scrimmage tonight? Matt Derrick, Shady McCoy, Damian Williams, or Darrell Williams?
That's a really tough question. Because I think Darrell Williams might have led last week with just the one big catch. It seems like at this point McCoy's the guy that they've been riding. That seems most likely, but the other guys have had some explosive moments. I mean, that's a tough one, but I think I got to go with McCoy.
What receiver not named Tyreek Hill will have the most yards tonight for the Chiefs?
This feels like it might be DeMarcus Robinson's day. Ooh. Up in the rotation.
Hello.
Ooh. Well, hello, fantasy. Alrighty. Football pundits. Okay, all right then. I like it. Tell us about all the coverage you will provide for ChiefsDigest.com and A10WHB.com, Matt, please.
Yeah, I've got a game preview coming up this morning on A10WHB.com. We're going to have content throughout the day at Chiefs Digest. Reagan Creswell, who's kind of our scout, is going to break down the action. And then tonight we'll have a live update blog that you can follow along with, and we'll have coverage after the game. So all day long at Chiefs Digest and the A10 website, you can find Chiefs coverage.
Okay, so pardon me. I don't understand. Jake just sent me a text. Ask Matt how big his trunk is.
Oh, stop it. I did not.
What is that?
I did not. I sent that to
Matt. Oh, off air. Okay. Whoops. I'm so well.
I ain't about
that
life.
I should read the whole thing before. Matt, I apologize.
I ain't about that anymore.
Block Jake on your text messages.
Go with no Matt.
Matt, thank you very much for the time, sir. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Take care. I'll talk to you later, Jake.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's it, Matt. Matt knows what's up.
What business is it of yours how big his trunk is? You know? Maybe he's got some junk in it.
Hope you got a nice trunk, because I'm going to put my bike in it.
Wow.
That's a line from 40-year-old virgin.
Seems like you're aggressive there.
Mm-hmm. It's the only way to be, man. If you're going to make a mistake, make it an aggressive one, kids.
So you said the over, but then it seemed like you were talking your way out of it. So what did you land on?
No. I said this defense can't stop anybody, and this is the most explosive offense. And I stopped myself from saying that. So the combination of this defense not being able to stop anybody and the most explosive, I stopped myself, and that's when that comment came out. But I still think it's...
Is that a strong play from you? Or
No, I'd stay away from this game altogether. Thursday night is hard. It's hard to predict because of the short week, because the guys coming off injuries and the turnaround. Thursday, I don't like betting Thursday.
Every week's a short week for me.
Every week's a long week for me.
Whoa.
Huh?
I don't get it. Let's take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.